Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, for it's your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you join us now as we gather to do our devotion? We're going to have song, scripture, and prayer. But as we do every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are excited to invite you to join with us and to spend that time. Please feel free to join us again every Tuesday, as I said, from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, who do we have with us this evening? Dr. Nix, are you with us this evening?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Would you read for us Romans, the third chapter, the 23rd verse, and start the third chapter and the 23rd verse, read that section from starting at 21, probably through 31. If you will. And when you finish, if you would go back and read 23 at the end of that. So we would like to start with song, scripture, and prayer. So we're going to have a song this evening. And the song will be by June Rochelle. And it's Worship by June Rochelle. So here we go. And Dr. Nix, do you have that scripture? And we'll do song, scripture, and prayer. If you would do the scripture, I'll do the prayer. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture lesson is taken from Romans. We're going to be reading the 21st and the 31st verse. And our focus is the 23rd verse. This is the New Living Translation. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sin. But God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only?
But isn't
he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. We want to go back to the 23rd verse. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard.
So we have several people with us on the line tonight. I'm going to pray, Dr. Ness. Thank you for reading the scripture. God, we come before you, and we just celebrate the fact that you have blessed us in order to have see one more day. Lord, as we come to you, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds towards understanding what we're supposed to do is we are commanded to go forth and make disciples, to evangelize, to spread your word to all the nations. We come right now, Lord, asking that you would touch our hearts so that we could clearly dialogue and see and share and stretch to understand different ways in which we could be truthful in sharing your word and inviting people, you into their hearts. We thank you as we move forward and ask that the Holy Spirit might have its way. We ask these blessings in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nook. Brother Lester, and we have James on the phone. Glad that everybody's on the line. This is a really, really interesting lesson. The first lesson that we had, we talked about the Great Commission. And if it is such a great commission, why are we so reluctant to be obedient to it? And then last week we talked about the Ethiopian eunuch and the model that we were able to get from witnessing it, how we looked at the guidance of the Holy Spirit who reached out to Philip and sent him down a road, a deserted road, they call the roadside, all the way the desert road, where only one individual was there, but letting us know that one person, just one person, if nothing else, is important to God. And then we went on to see that Philip even responded when he sensed the leading and the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. He was responsive to what he asked him to do, and he went and found the man, and he was riding in his chariot in this isolated place along the Gaza desert, but then tempted to guide him and instruct him. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, and he knew that because he was reading it out loud, and he, you know, asked him, do you understand what you're reading? I mean, you know, he just, right where he already was, He didn't try to change him, to back him up. He met him right where he was. And the Ethiopian eunuch responded, how can I understand unless someone will guide me? And that was the opening opportunity. He dialogued with him about the book of Isaiah. We talked about how it was talking about Christ. We explained and we understood even in that testimony that God will stop us right where we are. Then he turns us around and sends us in a new direction. But not only that, that this word, this testimony, this story, this is for all people. Because the eunuch was a black eunuch, and he became a Christian on a desert road. And the gospel burst all of the old bonds of Jewish restriction and accepted anybody, any person, brother or sister, who trusted Jesus as Lord. And that's what our hope is today, is as you listen to the Bible study and the dialogue and the questions and the answers and people's perspectives, that you will also come to trust Jesus as Lord. And so tonight, that's exactly what we're going to talk about, trusting Jesus as Lord through various ways of witnessing. And tonight, we're going to start off with some common ways of witnessing. And one of those is the Roman road. Lester, are you available to help tonight? So, Dr. Nook, you have to get off of mute if you're there. Dr. Nook?
Yes.
You already read for us Romans 3:23. Would you get 3:23? I will get Romans 5:8. And then after that, Dr. Nooks, would you read, please, Romans 10:9? So you got that written down?
Yes.
Okay, and we're going to kind of read these. If you read one, I'll tag along behind you, and then you tag along back behind me. Okay?
Yes.
We're going to read the Roman road. Okay, go ahead.
For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard.
But God demonstrated his own love. This is Romans 8:5-8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. You will be saved. So that is what they call the Roman road. Does anybody remember the Roman road? It's been around a very, very long time. Do you know why they call it the Roman road? Anybody? Pretty obvious. Hello? Get off mute. Dr. Nook?
I don't know why they call it the Roman road. It just looks like the road to salvation, a path through this text of salvation.
It is. It's the text of salvation, but they use the book of Romans.
Yeah.
By using passages from the book of Romans, one can guide a non-Christian down the roadway of becoming a Christian. And we actually read those texts for you. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. God shows his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in the their response is 10:9. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I mean, it's that simple. So let's talk a little bit about how that hits you. What do you think about that, Dr. Nick? The Roman road.
Well, I like it. It is simple, and it shows the simplicity of salvation. We make it very difficult sometimes, make people think that they have to do a whole lot of things, a lot of gymnastics, In fact, it's just realizing that we're sinners and understanding that God died for sinners And that if we confess Jesus and believe in God, that we will be saved. And it's a message I think that's hard to accept for people because they think they have to do something else. And I think sometimes we make them believe that they have to do something else, have to get themselves right. They have to attest or be forgiven for everything they've done in the past. I mean, they have to work it out. They have to gain forgiveness from people. They have to gain acceptance by people. They have to go to church all the time. They have to follow the law. And I really like that Romans, the third chapter, where it says that it talks about the law and says we're not under the law, but we're under faith. So faith is what determines our salvation. So it's not about what you do and dotting every I and crossing every T and following the law, but it's about your faith in God. So you can mess up and not follow the law, but that's not what saves you. It's your faith in God. If you believe in Jesus and you accept God and believe that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. It doesn't matter if you messed up or not. It doesn't matter if you follow the law or not. It's your faith.
Amen. Amen. So, Dr. Nix, let's take this and break this down. Let's look at that first section that you read where it talks about the forgiveness of sin through Christ Jesus. What was it that jumped out at you? For me, it was the very thing that you just said, is that it's those who have faith in Jesus. But what I like about this is when we look at this scripture, you know, because people were under the law, because they were operating under the Jewish law, that was really important. And they had to let people know that there's no difference between being Jew and Gentile in the fact that righteousness is given through faith. You're not righteous because you know, people used to think that they were inherited into salvation just because they were from the lineage of Abraham. But this is clearly telling us that righteousness is imputed on us by faith, by those who believe in Jesus. So that's really what jumped out at me, you know, in this text, and I really like that. What do you think about verse 24? Anybody on the line want to talk about verse 24, 23, and 24? There are like five people on the line. Can you hear? Can you all hear? Okay, I guess they can hear.
Back to 21, and where it says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. So God has shown us a way to be right, made right with him. And it's like we've gotten this thing mixed up because we tell people they got to do this, 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 and this, follow all these rules and regulations, but we don't tell them that they need to work on their faith in God. And I realize that scripture will help us develop our faith. When we tell them that they have to, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, you know, and you got to do this. I mean, it's following a point
by
point.
They have a list.
A list of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
but it's not about the list. It's about, do you really believe in God? And are you really connected with God? Do you have faith in God? I mean, that faith trumps that list. So, I mean, you can follow all these laws and miss it, and miss salvation if you don't really have faith in God. And then it says, if God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous, hallelujah. I mean, that's wonderful. It's not about you following these rules and regulations that people have imposed upon us.
Amen.
It's about our faith,
amen,
the individual faith that we have in God that nobody knows but you and God. And so nobody can really judge that. It's between you and God. And God declares you righteous if you have that faith.
Amen. Amen. I love this passage because it is simple. Brother Lester, are you on the line? Are you going to be active in the Bible study tonight? If so, can you speak? One of the things I think is really important.
Are you there?
Yes,
ma'am. Are you there? I'm sorry. The phone was on mute. And we do have two other callers on the line here. We have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. No.
Amen.
But look, a thing I wanted to mention was that as it pertains to salvation is so simple. But when you bring it down to the Bible, right, and you said, what are the five things God is asking us to do so that we never have to question whether we're saved or not, right? All I would direct anybody to do is look at.
That wasn't the question. The question is about faith. The question is, we're looking at, let me read this to you again and you can break it down. Romans 3:21 through 26. And it says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So back to the question is, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what is it that allows you, according to this text, to have relationship with God?
The blood of Christ that makes us righteous.
Faith. Is that faith? Faith in the blood of Christ?
Well, we receive that righteousness through faith. And we even receive. Yeah. And so the thing is, when you take the word just at face value, right, and say, okay, Acts 2:38-39, Romans 10:8-10, Acts 19:1-7. And if you do what it says in those verses, you never have to ask another question about whether I'm saved or not. But what people do is they want to pick and choose, and when you do that, you're always going to be subject to being tempted with the question, am I really saved? Am I really going to heaven? Is there some question there, right? And all you got to do is what it says in the Word in those three passages of Scripture.
Well, according to this text in 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the reality is that there's nobody out there who's done anything that can hinder their abilities to have salvation. There's no sin too great other than blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. But it's saying this right here, that you have sinned and fallen short of God. So it's saying all of us are eligible to come before the Lord. We have all, you know, done things. You know, there's, you know, sexual sins, some people who have murdered, people who are on death row and have the opportunity to accept Christ as their personal Savior. You can still be forgiven. There is no sin where God will not accept you if you believe and have faith. So then it says in the next passage, Dr. Nix, is there something that you were going to say about that before we moved on to Romans 5:8?
No.
Then I want to go to Romans 5, and I want to read the whole section there and focus on the 8th verse. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, We just clarified that. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So once we accept Christ through faith, we're justified, and we have a relationship with God that's no more enmity, but we have peace, and we're in relationship. And it says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we are also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, care hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So, and this happens immediately when you accept God by faith, that you have peace, that you then have the Holy Spirit that resides within you, because God's love was poured into our hearts. It says right there, through the Holy Spirit. And then it says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, we are reminded that Christ died for the ungodly. And that's exactly what we were, spiritually dead, before we accepted Christ by faith. And then it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. I mean, how many of us are running in front of a bullet to say, I end my life? You know, we don't rarely find somebody who does that. A mom might do that for their child, or, you know, husband for a loved one, but that's rare. So it says, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And why is this such a big deal that he says, while we were yet sinners? Can anybody tell me that? It's a big deal. Because when we were sinners, go ahead.
That means that we don't have to get ourselves right before we come before God. We can't clean ourselves up. And many people think that you have to be righteous to obtain, a position. You have to get yourself, clean yourself up. You can't have dirty laundry for people to accept you. But God accepts us with all the dirty laundry, all the history, all the mess ups we've done while we were still sinners, still messing up. Christ died for us. I mean, so that's something to shout about. And some people don't think they're good enough. They think they have to do something before they can come to God.
And some people still believe that there's a lot that they have to do. Brother Lester?
God is saying you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Just come.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I know your thinking is a little different on this. Why don't you give your perspective?
Well,
or is it,
you know, the specific question again. What was your question?
Well, Dr. Nooks and I both believe that the scripture and what it says is just that. Is you have dirty laundry. We are actually enemies of God. We are repulsive. And yet, while we were enemies with God, we were not in relationship with God, the word says. Christ died for us, even when we were not in relationship. And so that means that if we have faith, even when we have screwed up and we've got all these other issues that have not been resolved, God has been the one that chose to bridge the gap because of his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, so it's not of us by any means or anything that we can do other than have faith, then it's the blood, it says. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So,
absolutely.
Anybody else?
And
did you want
to? Yeah, no, absolutely. So, basically what you said is through our faith, we've been sanctified, justified, redeemed, and made righteous. And that's an important thing to understand, because that is a complete and perfect work. And it's something that happens over the course of our life, right, where we go from grace to grace, from faith to faith, and we grow in our relationship with God. So I think what's also important about that verse you read in Romans 5 is that it says, knowing this, that we glory in tribulation also. You have to know that, you know, through faith you are saved before you get to the point that you glory in tribulation, right? And then understand that that tribulation is what's bringing you more patience, experience, and hope, because the love of God is shed upon your heart. But like the Ethiopian eunuch said, how should I know unless somebody teach me, right? If you don't know, you can't glory in tribulation. So there are a lot of people who think they're saved, but unless someone teaches them the word of God, they are not empowered to know so that they can glory in tribulation, so that the love of God can be shed abroad in our hearts. So we want to get people to the point where you just direct them to the scripture and say, you know what? If you're not sure you're saved, go take a look at Acts 2:38-39, Acts 19:1-7, and Romans 10:8-10, and no, don't go to bed at night wondering if you're going to heaven or hell or not. You know, just read or ask somebody to show you in the scripture what God says about salvation.
Amen. Since tonight we're doing the Roman road, we're going to deal with the Roman passage. So these Roman passages, I believe, if you do the Roman road, if you the simplest way, a way to do a salvation, we're talking about different ways of evangelism. And so Romans 3:23, 5:8, and 10:9 are a way of leading a person to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Dr. Nix, is there anything else you wanted to say about 5:8? Or
no.
You, Lester, 5:8. Okay. So I'm going to read Romans 10:9. Jamie, do you have your Bible? I'm going to start at 10:9, 1-9. Or actually, yeah. It says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites,
yes, I have my Bible,
is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, this is the key part, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Amen. Is there anyone else? So, James, what jumped out at you when you heard that scripture?
Well,
Jamie, anybody?
Okay.
I'm just throwing out names. Mike, Jamie, Lester, whoever wants to talk.
Well, this is James. Verse 3 jumped out at me, and I'm thinking about what we see in our world today. It says, "For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law." I think what we have is, and maybe, you know, Lester, I think, was trying to get at it, he's trying to lead people to the scriptures, because when people don't rely on the scriptures and they don't rely on the Holy Spirit, then they come up with their own way of being right with God. And their own way is being imposed upon many people in many churches across our world today. Instead of relying on the scriptures and having faith in God and accepting God as Lord and Savior, instead we have people trying to establish what people need to do to be righteous. And we can't be righteous by ourselves. We can't be righteous through our own ways. We have to be righteous through the blood of Christ. We have to be righteous through God, through faith in God. And that really jumped out at me, because it says they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. So we see the law, and people think they have the answer in how to do that and get right with God. And we all know that nobody can keep the law. Nobody can keep every law all the time for all their life. Only Jesus did that. But yet we sit up and we see the law, we see rules and regulations, and we try to get people to follow every one of them. If they don't, if they mess up, then it's like you're ostracized. But instead, we should be teaching people to have faith in God. And when we mess up, we know that God will forgive us for our sins if we confess our sins. So we should be leaning more on the faith, but instead we're coming up with our own way of trying to be righteous. I never will forget when a sister, when I was teaching Bible study, said that they had messed up a lot in their lives, in their life, and there was no way that they could be forgiven unless they did something about or suffered for all the sins that they had committed in their life. I said, "Don't you know Jesus took that upon himself for you? You can't do that by yourself." And she would not accept that. I mean, in her mind, she had to suffer for the things that she had done in her life and didn't realize, could not accept and realize that Jesus took that upon himself. So, I mean, that's an example of, I think, people coming up with their own way of getting right with God instead of really looking at the scriptures and understanding that they should have faith in God and that Jesus died for them. I mean, how can you say you're a Christian and you believe and you don't even understand that Jesus took your sins upon himself and died for you? And you can't suffer your way into salvation. You can't suffer your way into righteousness. But many people think they do. They have to do that.
Amen. Okay. Lester, did you have any comments about that section?
Yeah, actually, you know, what I really love about this with Romans 10, 9, and 10 is when we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the master of our life, and then we believe that God raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead, we know that we are on the path to making this thing happen and walking into the kingdom of God. But to say that Jesus Christ is your master with your mouth is a big thing. And for a lot of people these days, the word Lord is foreign, right? But when you hear that word Lord, you're saying Jesus Christ is my master. So when you get it like that and you say that and then you believe that God raised his Son Jesus Christ from the dead, you're walking into something new, something other than what a lot of other people are walking in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to repeat those as we just close with One of the ways to share the gospel is through the Roman Road. And it's called the Roman Road again because it's the book of Romans that allows us to walk Christians through a roadway of becoming people, a non-Christian, down the roadway of becoming Christian. And we start with Romans 3:23, which says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then we go to Romans 5:8. It says, God showed his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then we close with, if you confess with your lips, in Romans 10:9, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Now, another way of leading a person to Christ, for those of us who are, again, reminded that this is about evangelism and different ways of evangelism, if you could turn with me to John 1:1, and then John 3:3, then John 3:16. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Did I read that right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the second one is 3:3, which says, Jesus replied, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And then 3:16, which says, y'all know that one by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so they call that the three, the Gospel of John, you know, leading someone to the path of Christianity through Gospel of John. So what do you guys think about that? Has anybody used that methodology before? What do you think about the John passage, and why is it important for them to understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God?
I think it's important so that people – this is Lester Carver. I think it's important because people have to understand that Jesus Christ is the living Word, the written Word, and the spoken Word. And everything about this is about Jesus Christ because he is what gives us access to God. So that's just awesome. And to know that from the beginning – that was the plan. He is the plan. He is the whole of the plan, spoken, written, and living. And living within you and I when we become saved, because it's Christ in us, and that is our hope.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Nook, what do you think about why it's important?
Well, and I agree with everything Lester said there. I mean, it's important for people to understand that Jesus is God. I think a lot of times people throw Jesus around like he's a buddy, brother Jesus, you know, and Jesus is our brother, but Jesus is God, and people need to understand that. And so, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you know, and so Jesus was, I mean, from the very beginning, Jesus has been there. And it's not, so Jesus is divinity, and people need to understand that. So I think that's why that's really important to introduce that understanding to people. You know, the Muslims accept Jesus as a prophet, but they don't accept Jesus as the Son of God, and they don't accept Jesus as God. So, I mean, to establish Jesus as God is important for people to understand. It's in the process of salvation, you know, a man can't save you. God can save you. And so they need to understand that Jesus is God.
Can I add another
point? I just wanted to read a little something here that I thought was really cool about. It's very short. I want to read this. It says, what Jesus taught and what he did are tied inseparably to who he is. John shows Jesus is fully human and fully God. Although Jesus took upon himself full humanity and lived as a man, he never ceased to be the eternal God who has always existed, the creator and sustainer of all things and the source of eternal life. This is the truth about Jesus and the foundation of all truth. If we cannot or do not believe this basic truth, we will not have enough faith to trust our eternal destiny to him. That's why John wrote this gospel, to build faith and confidence in Jesus Christ so that we may believe that he truly was and is the Son of God. I like that. What do you all think about that? Lester, you have something you want to say?
Yeah. I was basically just going to comment on John 1:1, where it talks about in the beginning, the Word being God and the Word being with God, right? And it's just so important for us to understand that God sent his Son. God gave his Son. It said before anything was, Christ was in the bosom of the Father. Jesus Christ was in the bosom of the Father. And so to understand that all things were created through Christ, right? And so these words, gave, sent, with, are important to the understanding of the scripture so that we understand that the devil did not kill God and that God sent his Son so that he could raise his Son, as it says in Romans 10, 9, and 10, so that we can believe that God raised his Son, and not that God just decided to get up after God let the devil kill him and all this other stuff, right? Because that's not what happened according to the scripture. So, you know, these are some of the things that we want to, you know, understand to connect the dots, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was raised from the dead by God and seated at his right hand, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And it says after the fullness of time that Jesus Christ is going to hand those keys to the kingdom back to the Father. And that's going to conclude everything when it's all done.
So, as we have read in that first text about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the next section was when Jesus replies in John 3, verily I tell you, no one can enter see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And, you know, Nicodemus was talking to Jesus in this context, and we talked about this one quite a bit, but he knew that, you know, that the Bible, you know, Nicodemus had some idea about it being ruled by God, being restored on earth. It would incorporate God's people, but he didn't understand how he could be personally born again. And so he learned that it was a water and the spirit. You have to be born of water and the spirit. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. It has to be born of water and the Spirit. And so we've learned that. We learned that we have to understand in verse 16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So here it again is the faith. Faith is reiterated. Confessing with your mouth is reiterated. Understanding that the Spirit comes to reside and work and live within us is reiterated. All of that works together. So those are two different ways that we've looked at tonight of witnessing. Roman Road and through the book of Gospel of John. Now, before we close, there's one they call the three R's. I haven't really spent a whole lot of time with the three R's. Has anybody heard about the three R's? Ruin, redemption, and response. Has anybody heard about those? The three R's?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. James, have you heard about the three R's?
I hadn't heard about it as a method of teaching salvation, helping people to understand salvation. I hadn't heard of it in that way, no.
In that context. Well, I just thought this was I thought it was pretty interesting that that you know you're able to sit down and find these different ways of telling people that you know if we don't fully understand that you know as we are without Christ we are ruined, and that Christ offers redemption and they can make a response to accept Him into their life. It's that simple. But there are different creative ways that people can use to share their story. And tonight we were just trying to give people a simple way of going to the Word of God, sharing simple truths so that people can begin the journey of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I did want to ask for those of you who are on the line, next week what we'll be talking about is sharing your spiritual story. And part of what we've been trying to say is that in order to evangelize, you know, it doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be some theologian in order to sit down and share God's word with somebody. All you simply have to do is to share your story and what God has done for you and in your life so that you can fully understand. And then take them to those texts. Make sure that the word is what that they are taught to go to. And remember through the Roman road, remember through the John passage, remember through the three R's where you talk about the run in our lives, how we are lost without Christ, how we talk about God's great redemption, how we can speak about Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the costly nature of God's grace, and then the response that Christ calls from us is to accept Him by faith. And so these are the three ways, processes I wanted to introduce tonight. If you have others, we'd be more than welcome to have you share those. You have about 5 minutes. Is there anyone who has anything they want to say to close off our evangelism witnessing models, different ways of witnessing? That you want to leave with the radio audience tonight?
Well, this is
one
James.
Word
I would
or
just
two.
Say that this is James. Just that you need to be prayed up. You need to be a part of God yourself before you witness to someone else. And so you need to have accepted Christ. You need to be a part of God. You need to be through your faith to have been saved. And ask God for help in how you can approach and witness to others. But you need to be saved yourself first. And I think some people go out and try to witness, and they maybe are not really saved themselves. So that's important.
Well, and that's important because, Dr. Nooks, if you're not living a Christ-like example, then that hinders your witness. So, you know, we're sharing these based on the fact that this is what Christians can do. Christians can do to share their faith. But it is imperative that you have a relationship yourself. But that's what we're claiming, that we're talking about Christians. So is there anybody else who has something they would like to encourage others to have or to understand about evangelizing and the different ways of witnessing?
Yeah, sure.
No,
one of the things I think is really important for every born-again believer to understand is every born-again believer is a minister of reconciliation. That means it's your job to witness to people. So if you are saved, you are a minister of reconciliation. We are all ministers.
Amen.
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 And as a minister of reconciliation, we are asking that you look and examine different ways of witnessing until you find what is comfortable for you. And part of that witnessing prospect aspect, we have to listen to people. You know, you don't just go in and do all the talking. Dr. Nooks, have you ever just gotten a situation where you just, what really opens people up is the fact that you listen to them and you're vested in what they have to say and what's going on in their lives. Listening opens the door to the heart and mind of the person that you're talking to. And it shows that you care and you're interested and generally trying to understand what's going on in their lives. I don't know about either of you, but I think that's imperative that we, you know, our listeners are not just going to offer something, but we're willing to receive. I think sometimes we get so caught up in being the ones that's running the show that we miss an opportunity to just be a blessing by being present for someone. So, amen.
Yes, it's important.
Amen. So we're just asking that as you come to the Bible study next week, Brother Lester, we would ask that you bring and share your spiritual story. And Brother James, that you bring yours. And if Mark is feeling good enough next week, and James Christian, if you want to share, and Mike Diggs, if you're there, if you share your story. And I will definitely be excited about bringing a portion of mine as well. We just need little clips of so that people can understand what that's about, what that's like. And we're expecting that in our testimony, we describe how we became the Christian and what Jesus Christ means to us now. So, you know, not so much to call attention to yourself, but everything we do should point to Christ. Amen? Amen. Dr. Nux, would you, are there any prayer requests tonight?
Continue to pray for Mark.
Amen. We will lift up Brother Bryant and the Nux family. Ask that you lift up myself and my children, James and Sydney, as always. We're looking for new vocations. Had an interview last week, but they won't get back with me for a couple of 3 or 4 weeks for the VA.
And Sean,
anybody else?
Job search. Continue to pray for Sean's job search.
Okay, we pray, offer our prayers for Sean's job search. And Eric is not with us today, but we would like to lift him up in prayer as well. So, Brother Lester, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Ma'am.
If you're open to that.
Heavenly Father, I thank you today for James and Sydney, God. I thank you for your hedge of protection around them. I thank you for Dr. Nook's family, God. I thank you for you blessing him mightily, God. Father, I thank you for you acknowledging his faithfulness and his service and allow him to see greater dimensions of you, God. Father, I thank you for Mark right now and you touching his body, strengthening him, allowing him to be fully released of this physical ailment. God, I thank you for those ministering to him, being empowered and skillful in what they do. God, I thank you for blessing Sean today and for her job search, God, not just being fruitful, but to have the ideal position with the ideal salary at the ideal location, God. Father, I thank you for you continuing to bless everybody on the line, God, and allow us to continue to walk in your favor, your grace, and your mercy, and to know without a shadow of a doubt that we are saved if we are your children, God, and give us the desire to share with someone else your goodness in our life, God. Father, I thank you for Dr. Susie. You continuing to bless her ministry, to continue to make it fruitful, to allow her to see the increase as a result of her faithful service to you. I thank you for this tonight. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're so excited as we close tonight. We want everybody who is listening to be saved and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you heard the prospects and the methodologies in which you can choose Christ as your personal Savior. If you want to call in tonight, feel free to call in to 646-478-4932 or to email drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com, and we will be there for you to pray with you and to share with you God's love. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to you visiting with you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.